And all God's people said,
Amen.
What a blessing. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been wonderful to be with you here at Fairhaven Baptist Church this week, and I'll be with you and my wife in the retreat in these next several days. I want to thank you so much to Dr. Damron and his sweet wife and all the gracious hospitality you've shown. Numbers of you have provided meals for me. I want to thank you so much. And you've made my stay here most pleasant in these days. Both of us will be flying out on Thursday after the retreat, but we're delighted to have been with you here in these days. Also, again, the book table is thinning out, but just a couple of books. One is entitled Broad is the Way. If you have interest in churches that are shifting from a fundamentalist to a evangelical, moving from conservative to less conservative to a more liberal position, this is a very interesting book on recent church history. Bible colleges that have died and why. And again, there are three books on the King James issue. I'd like to tell you just a little bit about this one, Touch Not the Unclean Thing. This was written about 20 years ago, 19 years ago, and it was actually my doctoral dissertation, and we received permission to put it into a book form. And after it had been out for 6 months or whatever, I got a phone call one day, and a party on the other end who requested to be anonymous said, we have read this book, Touch Not the Unclean Thing, and we would like to send it all over America. Oh. And they said, we'll pay for the printing, we'll pay for the postage, we'll do everything. The only thing we ask is you leave our fingerprints off it and you put your name on it. Okay. And so the day came in October of 2001 where a 53-foot semi backed up to the freight dock at the Duluth, Minnesota post office. That truck was full from front to back with these books, all addressed, ready to go in the mail, and that they did. And went to about 25,000 independent Baptist churches and preachers and people across the country. Brother, my phone started to ring. And there were some unhappy campers across the land. This book defends the King James Bible and the problems with all the modern Bibles. And it got to the point for about a month, we didn't answer the telephone. We just let every call go to the answering, the voicemail, the answering machine. Well, about a year later, I'd been to the Sword of the Lord conference down in North Carolina, came home, and of course, this was before everybody had cell phones. And my wife said, there's a guy who's been trying to get a hold of you, and he wants to talk to you now. I thought, oh boy, here we go again. So I called the guy up, and the voice clearly was an elderly man with a high tenor voice. And he said, you don't know me, but I've read your book, Touch Not the Unclean Thing. And I want to help you advertise it. Oh. He said, let me tell you about myself. My name is Robert Turner, and I am a man of means. Hmm. He said, I am the founder of Napa Auto Parts. And he said, when I do business with a man, I like to talk to him face to face. So I'm going to fly you down here to Palm Beach, Florida, which he did, and flew me down there. Went to the appointed place, a very posh, swank, senior, high-rise building. He was in his 90s. He was not a young man. And I walked in the door, and immediately I'm accosted by a butler type who says, please state your business. I said, I'm here to see Mr. Turner. Do you have an appointment? Yes, I do. Oh, step right this way. And long enough story short, and I could go on and on about this, but he promised to underwrite which turned out to be about $50,000 of advertising. We put full-page, full-color insertions eventually in the Sword of the Lord and Pulpit Helps and World Magazine and, of all places, Christianity Today. And there were a number of magazines who wouldn't touch it. Well, anyway, before it was ready to go to press, and we'd hired a professional advertising agency to prepare the ads, and so Mr. Turner found out about it, but he'd said before, now, you're the brains and I'm the money. You prepare the ads and I'll pay for them. Well, once the ads were prepared, he wanted to see them. And so I mailed them down to him, and he calls me up and says, oh, no, we need to change this, and this. And when it was done, folks, it looked like a Napa Auto Parts ad. But if you're interested in the King James, here's a book that defends the King James. And this book, again, is new. Folks, if you have any interest in that subject, this book is dynamite. It shows how the modern Bibles are based upon fraudulent documents. And I believe the evidence will stand up in a court of law. So anyway, they're there, and they go away tonight. So now is the time. All right, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my wife tonight. I'm going to be preaching a message a little bit on the home and the family this evening. But my dear wife, Pam, has been such a blessing to me. We're coming up now in about, is it a week or so? On our 49th wedding anniversary. And it truly, we've had a heavenly marriage, and it's been such a blessing. And again, it's all her fault. But, and that's the truth, folks. But Pam has such a wonderful testimony. She grew up in an ungodly home. Her mother had been raised by Finnish atheists, and they were practicing atheists, consistent atheists. Her father grew up on the Bad River Chippewa Indian Reservation in northwestern Wisconsin. So her mother was a Finn, her father was an Indian, that makes her a Findian. But they moved to Minneapolis, and they were decent people, but folks, they were ungodly people. I mean, there was no godliness in that home, period, end of story, nothing. And when Pam was 15, she was invited to a youth activity at Fourth Baptist Church. They had major youth activities year-round, and the one policy of the church regarding those activities, if they didn't bring any unsaved visitors, they'd cancel the activity. And so there was almost always visitors there, and so Pam got invited to a roller skating activity, and there that night, after the roller skating was done, the youth pastor stood and preached the gospel. It wasn't just devotions, he preached. Gave an invitation, and after several verses, Pam went forward, and somebody led her to Christ. And folks, when she got saved, she got saved. And she hit the ground running, and she'd ride the Sunday school bus to church on Sunday morning, but on Sunday night, the church didn't run the buses, and that's typical in most churches with bus ministries. But and so she and her friend would ride the Metropolitan Transit Authority, the MTA city buses, and she'd take a bus from northeast Minneapolis to downtown, get to the transfer station, and take a bus out to north Minneapolis. And then the church would find some way to get her home afterwards. Well, the day came when the MTA went on strike, and so she walked from north Minneapolis to northeast Minneapolis, which is 3 or 4 miles of inner city. But she was determined to be faithful to the Lord. And she got saved when she was 15. By the time she was 16, they already had her running one of the junior church programs there they had several layers of junior church, and she was running the 4- and 5-year-old junior church program. And folks, she's never stopped. She's just been such a blessing to me, and I'm so delighted that she can be with me here in these days. Sometimes she travels with me, sometimes she doesn't. But I'm just delighted she could be down here this week. All right, take your Bibles with me this evening and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We are going to read verses 13 through 26 this evening in Galatians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Our Father, this evening, as we would look at this portion of your word and apply it particularly to our homes and our families, our Father, I'd ask now that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. And Father, may our minds be cleared of distractive thoughts. And might we be sensitive to what the Spirit has to say to the church tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Galatians 5 is dealing with problems in the Galatian churches. And the issues, not only doctrinal issues, but particularly of the conflict between the old nature and the new nature. But the same principle applies in the Christian home, folks. And though the passage here is not directly of a Christian family, the application certainly will work there. When we got saved, God gave us a new nature. We now have two natures within us, the old nature and the new nature, the flesh and the spirit, the old man and the new man. And here tonight, Paul contrasts these, and I would like to make application of these principles to our homes and our families. We have two natures, the old nature, folks. I didn't have to teach my children how to lie and to cheat and how to steal. Their mother did. But seriously, that's so old at home, folks, they don't even laugh at that one anymore. But seriously, we don't have to teach our children how to lie and to steal and to cheat. They already know how. And so did every one of us here tonight. We were born that way. But when Christian people walk or live in the flesh, that old nature, our home, our family is not going to be much different than those out in the world. That's all they have. Folks, we have an advantage. We have a new nature within us. And notice here in verse 13, it says, by love serve one another. How we ought to, by love, serve one another, even in our homes and in our families. He goes on to say in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Well, obviously, it's a figure of speech. He's talking about fighting and bickering. And does that ever go on in Christian homes? Yes, it does. But it's because of carnality. And a major key to a heavenly marriage and a heavenly home is mom and dad walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Walking in that new nature and not the old nature. And we need to teach our children to do the same. And so tonight, let's go through this passage and look at the dynamics of the old nature and the new nature. When we understand our old nature and how it operates, its modus operandi, we can take steps to deal with it and say, uh-oh, I need to get out of the flesh and back into spirit. And so several things you notice in verse 17, the conflicts of the old nature. The old nature is hostile to the new nature. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. The old nature is contrary and produces conflicts. And a home where at least one party is walking in that old nature is probably not going to be the happiest of homes. You say, well, I'd have you to know, Brother Sorensen, I've been saved for 20 years. I don't care. If you're walking in the flesh, you're going to have an unhappy home. I could tell you of one or two situations where I've known or people who are married for 50 years and they had an unhappy marriage because at least one party in that marriage walked in the flesh more often than not. There is conflict where the old nature is operative. Now, let's move on to the second thought here tonight, and that is the works of the old nature. Notice in verse 19, he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. The works of our old nature are apparent. They're obvious. The works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? And he lists, I'm going to categorize these into several blockings together. He lists what I call moral impurity. Notice here in verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Well, I don't think I need to describe what adultery or fornication is. We understand it, but it's sexual sin. And it emanates from the old nature. Does that ever happen in Christian homes? Sometimes it does, sadly. It's of the old nature. The pursuits of the lust of the flesh produce trouble and crises in marriages. But then notice the next several things here on the list. He talks about, in verse 20, idolatry and witchcraft, which I would just call being spiritually bankrupt. Idolatry is putting something before the Lord. Now, in ancient times, idolatry was usually bowing down to a molten, that is a cast idol or a carved idol. Here in America, we're a little more sophisticated than that. We worship stuff like sports and academics and recreation and the things that aren't necessarily wrong, but they come between us and the Lord. And I've known Christians over the years where the local sports team is their idol, and they worship idols. Folks, I'm not against sports. I like to see the Minnesota Vikings lose, or at least watch them. By the way, Twins are in first place this year. But nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes something that comes between you and the Lord, it becomes an idol. And it's of the flesh. It's very subtle. Then he talks about witchcraft. He says, well, I'm not into that. Well, praise the Lord. But the word in the original language is pharmacia. Does that remind you of an English word? Yeah, pharmacy. And in ancient times, in the occult, often hallucinogenic drugs were used in the practice of the occult. And so it's all lumped together here. Ungodliness, witchcraft. But then notice, continuing on here, you say, well, Brother Sorensen, I am not into adultery and fornication, and for sure I'm not into witchcraft, and I try very hard and let other things come between me and the Lord. But folks, this next category, I hope you got your steel-toed shoes on tonight, because this gets awful close to home. Envyings. I'm sorry, picking it up in verse 20. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Wow. Hatred. And I've heard people over the years say, I'll never forget that person for what he or she did. And sometimes in it's a family context. Hatred. Variance means argumentative, being at odds with, for example, your spouse. Then he talks about emulations, bitterness. Does that ever happen to Christian people? You better believe it does. Emulations, wrath. Well, we understand that, losing our temper. Strife, bickering and fighting. Seditions. Now, you say, well, that's not me, but that means being divisive. Heresies. And in its classical sense, we think of wrong theology, but in its root thought in the original language, just means being bullheaded and stubborn. Hello? Any of us ever guilty of that? Yes, we are. Where does it come from? The old nature. And it all goes to create ugly dispositions, being hateful and argumentative and bitter and angry and hostile and divisive and headstrong and bullheaded and opinionated and pouting and mad. And I might throw pride in the list there also. Folks, that all comes out of the old nature, the old man. And when we walk in the flesh, that sort of thing is going to bubble to the surface. And it does go on in Christian homes. I've been a pastor for decades, and I can tell you it happens. Now, I'll tell you this tonight. Brother Dominic has not clued me in on anybody here tonight. But I'll tell you something. Some of that stuff's going on in your home right now. Because human nature is human nature, the old nature, the flesh. And we need to deal with it. At the very least, it's going to take the honey out of your honeymoon. It's going to take the sweetness out of your home and your family. And he goes on and talks about some other issues here in verse 21. Murders and drunkenness and reveling. Well, we understand what murder is. And by the way, I hate to say it, but after almost 50 years in the ministry, 50 years in fact in the ministry, I could give you several illustrations of either attempted murder or in fact murder. And it's in the context of fundamental independent Baptist people. It happens, but it's when someone is in the flesh. Drunkenness. I don't need to draw a picture on that. Revelings means wild partying. But the old nature is ugly and causes nothing but conflict, strife, sin, and unhappiness. And when marriages break apart, one or both parties are walking in the flesh. And it goes on in Christian homes. And so, number one tonight, the conflicts of the old nature. Number two tonight, the works of the old nature. Number three tonight, the inheritance of the old nature. Notice the latter part of verse 21. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, can a carnal Christian or will a carnal Christian go to heaven? What's the answer to that? Yes. Just being bitter or angry or pouting or being mad or fighting with our spouse does not take away our salvation. That's not what this verse is teaching, this section of this verse is teaching. But I would submit to you, I think it pertains to loss of some of the inheritance we might receive in heaven. We talked this morning about rewards in heaven. And when we walk in the flesh and we're fighting and bickering and there's an ugly disposition or some of the other things on the list here tonight, we have the potential of unraveling some of the awards we might otherwise inherit in heaven and not having the full inheritance someday. And therefore, we need to stop and consider the next time we have a family fight. Not only is it souring our family relationship, but you might be draining some of your inheritance in heaven. It's serious business. Well, continuing here tonight, let's look at the character of the old nature. And I'm jumping over the good part. We'll come back to that. But notice here in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, here the apostle describes two characteristics of our old nature. He talks about our affections and our lusts, and it's in the context of the old nature. They that are Christ have crucified. Folks, when we get saved, we need to crucify the flesh. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a moment. But part of the elements of the old nature are our affections and our lusts. Now, the word affections, it has the idea of our feelings. Now, have you ever had hurt feelings? Yes, you have, and so have I. We all have. But just remember where hurt feelings are arising out of. It's the old nature. I could tell you over the years, people who have left churches that I've been the pastor of because they got their feelings hurt. And I've seen marriages have problems because one or the other got their feelings hurt. Or offended feelings, or angry feelings, or selfish feelings, or retaliatory feelings. Folks, God has given us feelings, but particularly the negative feelings we need to control. And we control our emotions, and our emotions do not control us. But it comes from the old nature. But then notice also, he talks about lust. Now, we sometimes in modern contemporary English view that in the context of sexual lust, but it basically just means our desires. What I want, demanding my way. The old nature is selfish. My old man, my flesh is selfish. It's self-oriented. It's self-directed. We'll touch on agape love here in a moment, but agape love, the form of love that's most prevalent in the New Testament, by definition, is selfless. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. In Galatians 2:20, Christ loved me and he did what? He gave himself for me. Well, my old nature is not selfless. My old nature is selfish. And so is yours. And desiring and wanting and my way or the highway, that's the old nature, folks. And when we can pause and understand, when that ugliness starts to bubble to the surface in our lives, wait a minute, that's the old nature. And as I said, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about how to deal with that. But let's continue on here and go to verse 22 and following. And I referred to a moment ago as the good stuff. Notice verse 22, the fruit of the new nature. Now, we've talked about the works of the old nature, and that's the root of most of our problems. Who was it? The great philosopher Pogo. You remember the comic strip Pogo years ago? He says, we have found the enemy, and the enemy is us. And it is. We are our own greatest enemy, folks, because that sinful old nature within us. But here is the good part. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It's singular, the fruit of the Spirit. It's like a cluster of fruit, like a cluster of grapes, for example, that develops as we grow in grace, as we grow in the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that word in the original language is agape. It's the idea of selfless love. It's a giving of oneself for the other. And that is so obvious and needful in the marriage relationship. There in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, husbands, love your own wives. And fellas, if I can give you some advice here tonight, just love your wife. Tell her you love her. Show her you love her. Love your wife. And in marriage problems that I have witnessed over the years, usually the root of it goes back to a husband who's not loving his wife as he ought. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he says joy. Joy, the opposite of conflict and trouble. Joy that's deep within us and sweetness within us. And peace. Peace within, peace with others. Getting along with each other. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. I had a new Christian ask me years ago, Pastor, does that mean I have to suffer a lot? No, the idea is being patient. Patient with each other. Putting up with each other. My wife has put up with me now for almost 49 years, folks. Because she walks in the Spirit. Gentleness. The idea is being gentle of spirit with each other. Very close to the idea of being kind of spirit. Gentle of spirit rather than sharp of spirit. Rather than nasty of spirit. Rather than sarcastic of spirit. Gentle. And then goodness. Just decent and upright. Faith, trusting each other. Being and providing ourselves completely trustworthy to each other. Meekness, interesting word. In contemporary English, I think it's usually misunderstood, but in the scripture, the word meekness has the idea of our emotions being controlled, disciplined emotions. Rather than flying off the handle, whether it's blowing our top, all the little cute little, you know, phrases the world has for losing our temper, getting our nose bent out of shape, all these little things. Folks, meekness is controlling those negative emotions. It's keeping us cool, calm, and collected on an even keel emotionally. And then temperance, which basically speaks of self-discipline of life. And that could be a whole sermon in itself here tonight. They that are seek the mastery are temperate in all things, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And so we have this sweet new nature within us. We need to put it on and wear it. We'll come to that momentarily. But notice here, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we have this new nature on the inside. Let's walk in the new nature. I have it, you have it. If you're saved, you have that new nature within us. Let's put it on and wear it. And that's what Ephesians chapter 4 says. Paul, there in Ephesians 4 and verse 22, he said, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. And he uses a simple illustration there, something we do every day, and that is we put off our dirty clothing, and each morning, at least I hope you do, you put on clean clothing. Tomorrow morning I will get up and I will put on clean clothing. And it's such a simple day-to-day illustration. Well, folks, in the closet of our heart is the old nature and the new nature. And I hate to say it, but it's unless you've really grown in grace and are very strong in the Lord, the default position is probably going to be the old nature. We need to get up in the morning and do something about that old nature and put on the new nature, the new man, and walk in the Spirit today. Every morning, as I spend time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me this day to put off the old man and help me to put on the new man. Every day, each morning, as I spend time with the Lord, I say, Dear Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to thee. Help me this day to walk in the new nature and make a conscious decision and determination each morning to walk in the new nature that day. Do I always do it? No. I'm driving down the road and some guy cuts in front of me and I say, that moron. Uh-oh. I had a deacon riding in the car once and I said that. I said, oops, I need to ask the Lord forgiveness. But we get irritated, we get aggravated, and something happens, and we allow ourselves to snap back into the old nature. And we need to deal with it once again and put on the new man. And there in Ephesians 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, how are we renewed in the spirit of our mind? By spending time each day in the Word. Spending time with the Lord each day. And one of a number of reasons, but that is such a basic reason why each day we need to spend time with the Savior. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Well, to abide means to dwell with or fellowship together with. And how we need to spend time with the Lord each morning. Tomorrow morning, first thing I will do, I'm not sure when I'm going to wake up tomorrow. It's a holiday and it's been a long week and I'm a little weary and so I'm not sure, but when I am home on a regular schedule, I get up at the same time every morning, and the first thing I do is get in the Word. Amen. Same place each day, generally the same time each day, I spend time alone with the Lord each morning. And letting Him speak to me from His Word, and then me speaking to Him in prayer, and we fellowship together. The songwriter wrote the words, once upon a time, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Well, that comes as we spend time with the Lord. Folks, this is Christianity 101. When we see somebody get saved in our church, one of the first things we teach them is you need to be in the Word each day and read God's Word each day and spend some time in prayer each day. We talk to Him and He talks to us. We fellowship. And as we do, we are renewed in the spirit of our mind and gives the spiritual impetus to put off the old nature and put on the new. By the way, shall I get off on a tangent, my brother? Do you know one thing that'll keep you in the flesh and your young people in the flesh? Is listening to the world's music. And it is powerful. Music is spiritual. When we listen to the world's music, the devil's music, the music of the devil's program, the world's music, and it comes in many different flavors. You know that. We don't need to catalog all of that here tonight. But you can tell what the world's music is. I don't have to draw you pictures. But when you listen to the world's music, it resonates with that old nature. It strengthens that old nature. And if you want to walk in the flesh tomorrow, listen to the world's music. If you want your young people to walk in the flesh, let them listen to the world's music. And where it gets really subtle is this contemporary Christian music, which is the world's style and the world's rhythm and the world's look with a thin veneer of religion on the top. But it's mainly the world's music. You want your kids to go sour and your kids to be rebellious and your kids to go into the world. Just let them listen to the world's music, even the religious variety thereof. And it is so simple. You control the music your family listens to, and you're going to help your family to not walk in the flesh. But be renewed in the spirit of your mind, spending time with the Lord each day. And so each day we need to take and pause and put off that old nature each morning, to put off the old man and then put on the new man. And the strength, the impetus, the motivation to do so will be as we are renewed in our spirit, and that's as we spend time with the Lord. And so a family which has been trained to walk in the Spirit will manifest love. They will be happy. It'll be peaceful. They'll put up with each other. There will be a gentle spirit to each other. They'll be good to each other. They'll trust each other. There'll be meekness and a disciplined life. And the Apostle Paul says, against such there is no law. Congress has never enacted a law against those nine elements. And they never will. It's so basic, folks. We can walk in the Spirit tomorrow, or we can walk in the flesh tomorrow. But as we walk in that old nature, the potential is there for ugliness and for fighting and bickering and sarcasm and pride and pouting and being mad. And it may degenerate even into worse things. Let's walk in the new nature. As the apostle says here tonight, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Put on that new man day by day and walk in that new nature. It will have very practical outworking in your home, in your marriage, in your family relationships.